Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. We'll read verses 6 and 7 together. I'll read verse 6. You'll join me on verse 7. Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here in our church. Lord, even on a down day, Lord, there's churches all over this country and all over the world that wish they had as many people as we had today. Lord, we've gotten to enjoy fellowship together. We've gotten to gather around your word and hear it preached. We got to learn about a Jesus that put on a body that could die for us so salvation was available. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. We need you. We stand before you needy. Holy Spirit of God, fill him and fill us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, we see the prophecy of the coming Christ child. We see he is given some titles, one of which he's called the Prince of Peace. That's the title of my sermon this evening. I want to talk to you about the Prince of Peace. At this time of the year, you see the words peace all over the place. They're not as common as what it used to be. I have some items. This is some Christmas wrapping paper, and it says on it, peace. We begin to promote that subject this time of the year. There's an attractive decoration here, and it says peace on it. And then I have a Christmas tree ornament that quotes Luke chapter 2, but it has the large word peace. And here's a very beautiful Christmas card that says peace and love and joy. And a gift bag that has the words Prince of Peace on it. And you look around, and at this time we see the word peace. Why? Well, because in Luke chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we then associate that word peace with this time of the year. But he was called the Prince of Peace. All the war and hurt that sin has produced is about to meet its match when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes on the scene. The thought of peace is a wonderful thing. Jesus was born the Prince of Peace. Now, the Bible mentions this subject of peace, and it mentions it in many ways. Now, I hope everybody will listen to me. Everyone struggles with this thing called peace from time to time. You listen to me, though we will use the thought that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I would like to help you 52 weeks a year with the subject of peace in your life. America is struggling with peace, and I'm not just talking about with the Taliban or in war. I'm just talking about within themselves. Let me talk to you about this thing of peace. The Bible mentions peace in many ways. The Bible says that Jesus is the author of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Jesus offers perfect peace, the Bible says. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Then Jesus offers peace that passes our human understanding. Listen to this verse. Philippians 4:7 says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So we see that God is the author of peace. We see that he produces and makes available a perfect peace. We find out that there is a peace that passeth all understanding. He tells us that we can have peaceful sleep. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Some of you are experiencing that right now as I preach, peaceful sleep. And for that, you're a proof that this is possible. Then, we know that the Bible says Jesus was the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Then Jesus offers, he says, I have a blessing for you. That blessing is this matter of peace. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace, the Bible says, can be multiplied. Now, I like it when something is made available. I like it when something can be added, but when it can be multiplied, you understand multiplication means in greater quantity. 2 Peter 1:2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, here we see so many things about this subject of peace. And Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6 and given the title the Prince of Peace. Now, peace is a wonderful benefit that's made available to the Christians. But let's look a little closer at this quality called peace, that of which Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Let me say, first of all, there are things that make for peace. There are things that make for peace. Please listen to this verse. Romans 14, verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Huh. The Bible says, let us follow after the things that make for peace. I told you, first point, there are things that make for peace. There are ingredients in life and in our living that produce peace. Peace is not just given, it's planned, it's practiced, and it is on purpose. I think that peace sometimes takes spiritual character, and it takes biblical obedience. You say, oh, God, give me peace. Now, God can bless you with peace. He's the author of peace, but he said, there are some things that make for peace. We are to follow after some principles and some teachings about peace if we want peace. I don't believe that peace just comes upon us. I believe there's some things to which we should be obedient that make for peace in our lives. There's some of you who said, oh God, give me peace. And you didn't find the peace, and it may be because you were not doing the things that prompt peace in your life. Again, Romans 14, 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. In other words, there are things that you and I need to follow after so that we might have this wonderful quality of peace in our life. So, number one, there are things that make for peace. Thank God for the Prince of Peace. But he said there are some things that make for peace. Number two, peace is a team effort between you and the Prince of Peace. This thing of having peace in your life, it is a team effort. You and the Prince of Peace, you both contribute to the Christian having peace in their life. Now listen to a few verses. John 14:1 says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what God's recommending? That you not let your heart be troubled. Hey, that's your part. Notice it says, let not. In other words, you have some control over the troubling of your heart. Now, what are we trying to do? We're trying to find peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And I told you, there are some things that make for peace, Romans 14:19. Now the Lord comes along and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Listen to this, John 14:27. Again, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wait a minute, there are those words again. Let Let not your heart, let it not be troubled, let it not be afraid. He said, I can give you peace, but I can give you peace, and unless you use the peace to not let your heart be troubled or not let your heart be afraid, you're not going to have peace. Did you know God can provide something for you and you not take advantage of it, therefore you don't get the benefit? So, it says in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. It says in John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is saying to us that He works with us about this subject of peace. Let me give you another verse. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look, it says, let peace rule. In other words, there are times when God makes peace available, but we don't let it rule in our hearts. Whose fault is it? Ours or God's? Well, let me tell you, if there's ever a shortcoming, it's us. It's us. The word let means allow. What's it saying? Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. Let God's peace take over in your situation. Notice it uses the word rule. You must let peace rule. God does not force peace upon you. God's willing to plant the seed of peace in your heart, but your heart has to be willing to receive the seed. You've got to do your part. You've got to let it rule. You've got to not let your heart be troubled. You've got to make sure you let not your heart be afraid. Listen, folks, God always does His part. It's like a checker game. The minute you move, God's already moved, and He's looking back across the checkerboard at you saying, your move. You say, I want peace. God said, I made my move. Your move. And He's saying to you, peace is available to you. Let not, in other words, you make your move. You receive what's made available to you. I can remember, some of you will remember this year. I can't for the life of me remember where I was flying. But I was flying and it was tornado season. We got into a terrible storm. We tried and tried and tried to land. We could not land. They diverted us to another nearby airport. And we tried and tried to land at that airport. Finally, they took us to a third airport. When we landed, we had been up in the air. I'm telling you, some of you remember I told the story. It was throwing us all over the place. And I mean, there were, the latrine had splashed so much that nasty stuff was going up and down the aisles. I mean, it was scary. That's just all there is to it. Finally, when we landed, we ran out of gas on the runway. We didn't even make it to the gate. That's how close it was. Now let me explain. While I was up there, peace was available. But I let not my heart have it. I'll tell you what I went through. Now, at first, I was scared, and I wasn't having too much peace, you know. And then let me tell you, the Bible says God gives you peace when it's time to die. Well, I knew I wasn't going to die because I didn't have a lick of peace at that moment. But we were up there, and at first, I mean, I was scared, and I thought, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, this is terrible. I don't mind dying. I just hate to do it so suddenly from 35,000 feet. But, you know, we tried and we failed to land, and we tried and we failed and we tried and we failed, and I promise you, in my heart I said, well, truly, I don't get to choose when I die anyway. So if this is it, this is it. That's how I calmed myself down. I got to looking around at the plane and looking at all these lost people, petrified, misbehaving, and I thought, Jeff Owens, now, you believe there's a God, and you believe He's in charge of your life. Let not your heart be troubled. If it's going home to Jesus time, it's going home to Jesus time. And then I calmed myself. It was available if I would let it do its work. And so, you and I need to understand Jesus was born the Prince of Peace. There are things that make for peace. Romans 14, 19. Peace, then, is a team effort between you and the Prince of Peace. He makes it available. You and I must let it do its work, according to Scripture. Number three, the Prince of Peace recommends, then, that we set our affections on heavenly things. Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, the Bible talks about the word set there. Set your affections, just so you understand. This point here, the word set there means allow, if you will. You and I are to have our affections on heavenly things. If you'll keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace, you'll have more peace. Don't always, if you want to have peace, don't get so attached to your things on earth. Do you know why we get troubled most frequently over our things? The things of this world? When the things of this world seem, if we seem to be losing them, we lose our peace. And the Lord said, you set your affections on things above, and you're going to find more peace. See every situation from the heavenly perspective. And if you will set your affections on things above, you're less apt to be panicked down here. You know, the one that gave you everything you have is still alive and well. America is not at peace within herself. Why? Well, the economy's rough and rocky. Let me tell you something, folks. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's been the one that's been providing all along. He's brought us safe thus far, and he'll lead us safely home, as the song teaches us. The Prince of Peace recommends that we put our affections on things above, because when we get too attached to things down here, we start having a lack of peace, because you say, oh, I'm going to lose that, or that's broken, or that's not working out. Keep your eyes on him. You'll find peace in this life. Ephesians 2:17 says this, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Notice, peace was preached to them that were afar off. Now let me tell you something. The further we get from keeping our eyes on him, our affections on him, the more we're going to need to be reminded of this thing of having peace. You get your eyes on your things instead of on him, you're going to have an absence of peace. Here the Bible says that they came and preached peace unto them which were afar off. When we get away from having our affections set on things above, we're going to have a lack of peace in our life. Listen, folks, we talk about the peace of God. Let me explain something. God provides for you and I peace, but when we talk about the peace of God, just so you understand, God's not having a nervous breakdown about anything. He worries about nothing. He's very calm and on purpose. If you will just keep your eyes on him, then you can be calm and on purpose. God has a plan, and listen, everything for God's going to be all right. He has peace. So you see, there are things that make for peace, Romans 14, 19. Peace is a team effort between the Christian and the Prince of Peace, and you and I are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Thirdly, the Prince of Peace then recommends that we set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Because when we get to setting our affections on things of this earth, there's a lack of peace about that. Number four, the Prince of Peace recommends that we be spiritually minded if we want peace. Now, what are we talking about? The things that make for peace. You say, I want peace. Then you'll have to do the things that make for peace. What is that? Get your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Here, the Bible teaches us that God is saying you have to be spiritually minded if you want peace. Romans 8:6 says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here God said, if you want peace, I'll make peace available to you, but you're going to have to think spiritually if you want to have peace. Listen to it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means be Bible-minded. Think God's way. Make your decisions according to the Bible. You're less apt to ever have a nervous breakdown. The Prince of Peace is come, and he tells us, I want you to have peace, but wait a minute. He doesn't hand it to you on a silver platter. There's a little more to it. There are things that make for peace. What is that? You've got to think spiritually. Your decisions need to be made according to the Bible. Hey, listen, when you make your decisions according to the Bible, you can have peace. You know, that you say, why? Because then he can deal with the consequences. When I do what God tells me to do, there's a certain peace that comes over me, and I say, well, I guess this is in your hands from here on out. But let me tell you something. You make your decisions contrary to the Bible, you are going to be like this. You're not going to have a certain security. You're not going to have a certain confidence. But let me tell you something, folks. The God that wrote the book said, you make your decisions according to the Bible, kick back, and let me take care of the rest. Now, that'll bring peace. That'll bring peace. Look at and think about your situation from a biblical point of view, and it will give you peace. So, here's what we've said thus far. He is the Prince of Peace. First, there are things that make for peace, Romans 14, 19. Secondly, peace is a team effort between you and the Prince of Peace. He always makes it available. We don't always let it work in our lives. Number three, he recommends to us that we set our affections on things above, not things on this earth, because when we're attached to everything down here, that's too insecure, so there's no peace for us. Then he said, we've got to think, we've got to be spiritually minded, and that brings peace. Romans 8, 6, number 5. The Prince of Peace teaches us that closeness to the Holy Spirit will produce peace. Closeness to the Holy Spirit will produce peace. John 14, 26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, let me tell you something. When we get away, and in case there's a young Christian here, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life, and the Bible says he is sealed there until the day of redemption. He's there to comfort and strengthen you. He is the part of our triune God, the Godhead that lives within the Christian, and he's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. From the very moment you get saved all the way till you're taken to glory, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you. Christian, let me tell you something. When we distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit, we distance ourselves from the peace that he provides. I would recommend to everybody in here, when you get the jitters about something, and everybody does, when you get a little scared and a little insecure, and say, oh, I don't have peace, get to the Holy Spirit right away and say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me, comfort me. Then let him do it. Now, he can try to comfort, but if you won't let him, he can't do it. Why? Let not your heart be troubled. You've got to do your part. Hey, peace brings comfort to us. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Peace calms our emotions. The Holy Spirit is a peace producer. But wait, and here's the part, and I've said this, but let me give you a scripture. We've got to stay spiritually minded. We've got to keep our mind on him. Listen to this. Isaiah 26, 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed means locked in. Folks, if you want peace in a troubled world, stay locked in on the Holy Spirit of God in your life. He'll keep you comforted. He will keep you comforted. He was given to you. You remember Jesus was going to heaven and he promised the disciples, he said, look, I'm going away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, so once I'm gone, he'll be with you forever. Now, that very same Holy Spirit was promised to you and I. And that very same Holy Spirit is the one that is going to provide for us peace if we'll let him comfort us. Let not your heart be troubled, Christian. You have the Spirit of God. Now, let him comfort you, and he makes the peace available, but you have to let it work. Let me go on, and I think this is it, and I'm almost finished. Number six, when we experience peace, then what should we do with it? You say, but Lawrence, I understand it. I see I'm to have peace, and I've got some peace in my life, and I'm understanding it, and I'm living some peace. Now what do I do with it? Let me tell you something you ought to do if you have peace. If you're accomplishing peace in life and you see that there's a comfort in your spirit and you're comfortable with God and you're spiritually minded and your affections are on things above, not on things of this earth, and you're walking in the Spirit, then let me give you some things you ought to do. If you have peace, you need to exercise it with others. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If you truly have peace, then you ought to be having peace with others. Be at peace with the others in your life. You need husbands and wives, both as individuals, need to accomplish peace, and then you need to share that peace in your relationship. People in the church ought to have peace between one another. So I think we ought to exercise the peace that we have by our submission to the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you this. I think you ought to help others get peace for themselves. If you say, I'm experiencing peace in my life, then you exercise it between you and others. But secondly, help others to get it. The Bible says in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. Be a peacemaker. You say, how? Listen, I'm doing that right now. I'm teaching you to have peace. You say, well, how do I help someone to get peace in their life? Tell them the same thing I've told you. Remind them to set their affections on things above, not things on this earth. Remind them to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Remind them to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. What does that do? You're helping to be a peacemaker. You see, peace is not always just between you and me. Sometimes it's just peace within myself, with my life, with what I'm facing, with what's going on. You don't have to be at war with someone, another human being, to need peace. We need peace within ourselves. And God makes it available. And if we get it, we ought to exercise it between others. And if we get it, we ought to teach others to be peacemakers. Let me tell you this. If you get peace, don't misuse it. Can I tell you something? Do you know that peace is not always a tool of guidance? Sometimes people, they'll say, well, I thought about doing thus and so, and I have peace about it. Well listen, folks, let me explain something to you. The Bible is 100% a good way to guide yourself. But the emotion of peace, you might want to be careful letting that be a tool of guidance all the time. I've watched many people say, well, I had peace about it, and it blew up in their face. Did you know that there are some things that you ought to do that you may not have peace about? There are times when I go to witness to someone, and I really don't have a lot of peace about it. I'm going, I'm afraid, I'm nervous, my palms are sweaty. I'm supposed to witness anyway. Too many people use this. You see, peace is something you can't put your thumb on, which usually means you can do what you want and then blame it on peace. This is what I want to do. I've got peace about this. I've watched people do sinful things trying to tell me, well, I have peace about it. Let me tell you something. God never provides peace for your sin. And God never provides peace for unwise things. And you know, sometimes there are things that you and I ought to do. We might not have peace about it, but if the Bible tells us to do it, we do it. So you be careful not to misuse peace. Oh, I'm glad when peace comes, but I must be obedient whether I have peace or not. You say, well, Brother Lawrence, I didn't tithe because I didn't have peace. Well, you're a sinner. You don't tithe because you have peace. You tithe because you're obedient. Boy, people throw that thing of peace around. Everybody wants to use peace as a tool of guidance. You better use the Scripture, and you better use obedience to the Word of God as a tool of guidance. I'm glad for you to have peace, and there will be things that you'll have peace about. But there are sometimes there'll be an absence of peace. Don't you think the devil wants you to have an absence of peace about some things? Sure. You just need to be careful not to misuse this subject of peace. Let me go on. Once we are experiencing some peace, what should we do with it? Well, we exercise it between us and others. What should we do with it? We should help others to gain peace. What should we do with it? We should not misuse it and in a wrong way use it as a tool of guidance. And let me say this. Whatever you do, don't misuse it. And let me say, don't misunderstand it. The Prince of Peace does not teach peace at any cost. Some people say, well, everything ought to be peaceful. I'm very sorry. We live in a sin-cursed world, and everything won't be peaceful. The liberals say, well, I want peace at any cost. Lay down your arms. No, the only way you'll have peace with a sin-cursed world is picking up your arms at certain times. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Oh my, liberals would have a hard time with that because the Bible says, hey, Jesus wanted peace on earth, and now Jesus turns around and says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You know what he meant? We're not at peace with the devil, folks. There is a spiritual warfare that's going on. We're in a battle. He said, pick up your sword and fight, Christian. And so there are times that if we're not careful, we'll misunderstand this thing of peace. Luke chapter 12, verse number 51, it says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Wow. Division? What does it mean? We divide. We separate from what? We separate right from wrong. We separate truth from error. There are times in a Christian's life when there is not to be peace between you and something. Why? Because we're to separate between right and wrong. We're supposed to do what's right. And so, don't misunderstand this thing of peace. Listen to this verse, Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It says, as much as possible. There are times when you may not have peace with somebody because the issue is doctrinally between right and wrong. That doesn't mean you can't be kind. It doesn't mean you can't be friendly. But there are times when you need to stand and stand strong. They say, well, you ought to be willing to give in. Hey, they say you ought to be willing to give in on that issue in regard to peace. Wait a minute. That's a misrepresentation of peace. That's not how God intended peace to be, that we give in to the devil or we give in to wrong or we give in to sin in the name of peace. Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, let me tell you something. Actually, at the time of his kingdom, we will see the Prince of Peace take over. But may I tell you what we must go through to get there? A thing called the Battle of Armageddon. That's where he slaps the snot out of the other side. You say, why? So we can have peace. So you be careful that the liberal left doesn't convince you, say, well, you're just a warmonger. No, we're for peace. But you don't get peace by giving in to everything. You get more war that way. It's not unity at any cost. Some will not like us because of our stand for Jesus and the Bible and purity and separation. We do not change our stand to accomplish peace. That's not what God teaches. And finally, let me say this. The ultimate peace that this world is looking for is the peace that is received when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, lost people are in a battle for their souls and for eternity, and they don't even realize why they can't find peace. They run to liquor, can't find peace. They run to drugs, can't find peace. They run to immorality, can't find peace. They run to money, they can't find peace. They run to success, they can't find peace. What are they looking for? The only thing that brings the original dose of peace that lost man is looking for is that they must be born again. And then suddenly, at salvation, the peace that passeth all understanding is made available to them. Lost people never really have peace until they get saved. You say, well, why is there peace? There's nothing like being forgiven. Nothing like being forgiven. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I have a peace about that, knowing my Savior saved me. When I think of the subject, of the Prince of Peace, I think about the process of peace. The Bible teaches that you and I as Christians, and if anybody ought to have peace in this life, it's you and I as Christians. But there are things that make for peace. And if we'll do those things, God will always do his part. You and I have to do our part. Thank God. He was born the Prince of Peace. And one day, the Prince of Peace will rule and reign. But there'll be some battles in between now and then. Take the thought of peace. Think about peace. Have it in your life. Choose to have it. Help others to get it. Hey, let's help some lost people to get peace. With what? With God. About what? Their salvation. Let's not forget. When we hear of the Prince of Peace, let's understand the truth and the doctrine of the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.